Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezevic, Nick Kieser, the reporter, hanging out with you on this Thursday. Hope you're having a fantastic Thursday. Broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. We got a lot to get into with the Titans, including what took place yesterday at OTAs. Of course, we thought somebody was going to ask about DeAndre Hopkins.
Shout out PK, he asked.
Shout out PK. And you know what?
And TD followed up.
But those two I would put in the list of people that would probably ask because, you know, they know how to do their job. They do a very good job. So let's start with that. Here was the question to Mike Vrabel on DeAndre Hopkins and if that's something they would be interested in.
I think our focus has always been about the players that we have here. And we'll keep you updated as, you know, we continue to add players to the roster.
A guy like that available, is that kind of what you were touching on when you had mentioned, you know, how there's another phase of free agency, how it's not finished?
Well, players come available at different times of the year, all the way up until the trade deadline. And then, you know, some of those veteran players that may be out there that signed throughout the offseason and training camp and even into the season. So player acquisition is always going to be something that you can try to add to your roster at different times.
Okay. So that's how he answered it, and I think you and I can both agree that that's about on brand with Vrabel and how we thought that might go,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, okay.
For sure. you were sitting right there when he did that. What was the body language like?
Oh gosh, I don't go fully in depth of the full. How about this? I didn't notice any significant body change from him answering whatever the question was before the DeAndre Hopkins question. To the answer and then to after.
What would be the scale of 1 to 5 on the Vrabel scowl scale of what it was?
10 being the worst?
Yeah, or 10 being the worst, yeah.
I mean, 3?
A 3? Okay, that's pretty good.
I feel like he always kind of will just look at Paul and give him a little, But like they have that type of relationship because he's been covering him for so long. And then TD followed up, and I actually thought he gave kind of a pretty detailed answer in regards to,
sure.
You know, is this what you were talking about when you said there are other options after not drafting a receiver?
And I thought that was a really good follow-up by TD.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so that's interesting. So I get in the car, I'm leaving the Predators, and Jared had just had Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette on, and so he shifts gears. He gets into this. So he played that clip we just played. Here was Jared's thoughts right after it.
Oh, I want to talk about the guys who are here. No. You're not just the coach anymore. Everybody talked about Vrabel wanting more power. Now, the Titans said Vrabel had nothing to do with John Robinson's firing. But then the fact that at the end of the season, Vrabel kept talking about how it was going to be more aligned and how everybody was going to be collaborating. And it was obvious that Vrabel felt left out of the A.J. Brown trade negotiation and Vrabel wanted more say. And Vrabel's got more say. And Vrabel wanted that more say because he could have told Amy, no, go hire Rick Spielman to be the general manager, and I'll report to him. But you know Vrabel's not going to do that. So Vrabel gets more say. Well, now, this is your responsibility. You cannot have this both ways. And I feel like that's what Vrabel's trying to do. When Vrabel tells you, like, oh, yeah, you know, I want to talk about the guys who are here. Dude, you are a player acquisitioner.
Okay. So, now I will say, I don't believe Vrabel had anything to do with Robinson getting fired. I have moved on from
Wait,
that.
Did he just say that?
Well, he kind of referenced it and like, not necessarily saying that, but I want to specify that.
Okay.
I 100% agree with Jared though, because whether they want to lay this out of what, you know, who does what and who reports to who and all that stuff, the way it's been laid out is they both report to Amy Adams Strunk, which in my mind, if you both report to the owner, then you're equal. That's how that works. And so Vrabel has more power. I 100% agree with Jared on that. And so I also agree that he can't necessarily get away. And the tease going into this segment was great because he said there's something that Vrabel said that he could have gotten away with last year. He can't get away with it this year. He answered it like a coach, and he can't necessarily answer it like a coach anymore. Now, I don't expect him to come out and say, hell yeah, we're going to go try and get DeAndre Hopkins. We'd love to have him here. But you can answer the question. You can say, look, he's a talented player. I knew him in Houston. Obviously, he's got an opportunity to go somewhere. We'll see how this plays out. But, you know, and you don't even have to show your hand and say, yeah, we kicked the tires on him. But you can answer it in a different way. Saying that I'm going to focus on the guys that are here is a coach answer, and you're not just the coach anymore.
Yeah, but he's in a coach setting.
It doesn't matter. You're right. He's coaching OTAs. It doesn't matter. When you wear more than one hat, you're always wearing more than one hat.
But I will say, I mean, to their point, and as much as we can speculate, and I'm giggling over here. I'm laughing at this because Rabel's going to do whatever he wants. I mean, he can go up there and he can look at all of us media people and be like, I got my hand in the 53. I know who I'm picking for this roster. And he can just say, I'm the coach. I'm only going to talk about the people on my roster, because they haven't actually come out and said that, you know, Vrabel is going to have final say. They haven't addressed it. We can speculate.
I know,
all
but we all
want,
know it's true.
But I mean, they can sit there and say, we didn't tell you that.
No, but they did tell us that they both report to Amy Adams Strunk.
Well, she's the owner. Technically speaking,
right,
everybody
does. Right, but there is a hierarchy in a business.
Okay.
There's a hierarchy. Like, you know, you report to somebody and I report to somebody and then that somebody above me reports to somebody. I mean, that's how it works. If you're both going directly to the owner and there's nobody in between, that to me says collaboration, whatever word you want to use, you're equal.
I have an example. Vrabel, when he says things, they're very, I feel like he says them like face value. So for instance, when he came on our show a couple weeks ago and you asked him the question about, you said something along the lines, Vrabel, I heard you say that.
Vrabes, babe, what's up?
I heard you say that, you know, you told Will Levis to put together some of his, and then I didn't say that. And then he's like, are you asking me? And then you asked, and he was like, yeah, I did say that. He knows what he has said.
He did say that.
He knows he is not. And I'm playing devil's advocate here. He could easily say to that, well, I never said that. I said that I report to Amy Adams Strunk. That does not equal, we can assume and we can infer, and that's how I think it is. But at the same time, like, Bill Belichick pulls the same thing, and everybody knows that he quite literally is the GM and the coach.
He never says anything.
So as much as we can sit here and say, hey, you have to answer, and you have to answer these questions now, is he going to? No. And as much as you can want him to, the only way you probably will get an answer like that will be in a post-draft press conference type setting, because he's in coach mode.
Okay, so I understand what you're saying, but you've been at these press conferences. You've been covering this team. You've been around them more so lately than I have. Does it not feel, though, that when you see Vrabel and Carthon in a setting together, that it's different than it was last year with J-Rob and Vrabel, that Vrabel certainly comes across like he has more decision-making ability?
I mean, he knows the team a lot better because he's been here for the last however many years he's been coaching. I also, to be frank and honest, I never got to be in a press conference with John Robinson in the 3 years that I've been covering this.
Okay. Well, I mean, and that's fair. But but you've seen them before. You've heard them.
Yeah.
Okay. J-Rob, you always knew J-Rob was in charge.
For sure.
Now, I feel when I'm in there, I feel like Vrabel's in charge.
Yeah, I mean, again, though,
and it doesn't have anything to do with knowing the team more, in my opinion. I feel like he's commanding the room more than Carthon is.
I mean, that's
because
also,
he knows he can.
You can also look at both of their personalities and look at them both and say, okay, that's clearly his type of personality, and that's clearly not his type of personality. I just think a lot of this becomes something of nothing, and everybody's like, let me look at the way Vrabel's acting and Carthon, and he's got final say and this and that. But at the end of the day, I think it comes down to the DeAndre Hopkins question. And I understand, yeah, he might have more say and he might be behind the scenes being like, Ran, go. We got to do everything we can. We're going to offer him this, this, and this. We need to get a number one wide receiver on our team. But, I mean, it doesn't – he is literally cut from the Belichick tree, who quite literally has both titles and does not say squat.
And that may be what he wants ultimately. Yeah. But, again, I go back to this. What was one of the first things Rand Carthon said when he was introduced? That his first priority was Mike Vrabel.
For sure.
And yes, you want to get to know the head coach. You want to get to know what kind of players the head coach wants. But my takeaway has always been that when Rand Carthon was hired, it was like, hey, you report to the owner, but you and Mike are working hand in hand. And if Mike doesn't like something, then we got a problem.
But why does it matter? I mean, I think, you know, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, and that's a –
Kyle Shanahan's in charge.
Okay. I mean, I know people who would say a little different.
I think Kyle Shanahan's in charge.
Okay. And then Pete Carroll in Seattle.
Pete Carroll's in charge.
Okay. So we have this conversation about these guys, but – in those specific situations, nobody's ever come out and said it, but the relation, it never the first year was like, oh, he's in charge. It was, I believe, the development of them together. And it's like, okay, I want to give you the best players, which I feel like then the world takes it as, oh, he's just doing whatever he wants. By a GM saying, I want to get you the best players to coach, when in reality, that's how you're successful because your coach is the one who actually has to coach them.
They don't have to come out and say it. Because people know. And I say that in a sense of, I think we're seeing that here. Like, they don't have to necessarily come out and say, because they're not going to.
Well, it's going to look like a jerk. You're going to look like such a jerk. If Vrabel got up there and was like, yeah, I'm Rand's boss. He's not going to say that. Or if Rand steps in and he's like, yeah, I make the final decisions on Mike. Like, that's just not, like, I feel like we talk about this, who's in charge. But then, why that would be such a turn off to an organization if one of them got up there and was like, yeah, he reports to me. Like, how do you work with somebody like
if Belichick, I mean, we all know Belichick's in charge, but if Belichick ever said, I'm in charge, it's my final call.
He's different, though. He's in his own category.
Andy Reid, I mean, you know, there's certain people that, like, if they said that, I'm going to go, yeah, no – no crap.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, that first press conference, like, that was the main question. Who's in charge? Did people really want Vrabel to get up there? And then if you ran as the new GM, you're like, wow, I mean, I thought, you know, that's like, I get it. I know. Everybody knows what it is behind the scenes. But, wow, you're really going to just be like, hey, I own you. I'm like, no, yeah. it's not gonna happen like that.
Interesting.
I just think it gets made way too much of a big deal, personally.
Well, I just think that the breaking news here is I agree with Jared on something. So that you know, take that for what you will.
I don't even know what we're arguing about anymore.
Take that for what you will. Interesting discussion. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. Coming up next, players that were and weren't at OTAs and whether it's a big deal or not. We'll discuss that next. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, the game.
You know, I think Will is competing. He's working hard. You know, trying to take care of those rookie guys. It's a lot for the receivers and the skill players. So, you know, that's part of the job of the quarterback is to make sure that everybody knows where to go, where to line up, what to do. So he's trying to do that when we work with the rookies in the afternoon. You know, and then come out here and practice and try to carry it over to the practice field.
He talked himself out of smashing his helmet when he fumbled the snap late. Is he good at kind of contextualizing, compartmentalizing?
Yeah, we'll just payroll deduct him if he breaks all the helmets and the speakers and stuff inside. So just frustrating. I'm sure that's something that they, you know, we talked about yesterday and it, you know, came up here again today. So we'll have to focus on that and make sure that, you know, when five different guys snap to the quarterback or potentially the quarterback, you know, everybody's going to snap it a little differently or based on the play, you know, center's moving in one direction. You know, so we'll just have to make sure that that's taken care of.
Mike Vrabel, Titans head coach yesterday on Will Levis, having a little bit of a rookie moment. Welcome to the NFL. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, the game. Hey, real quick, join us June 6th, that's next Tuesday night, for the night before our golf tournament, charity riders round, featuring Saving Abel and benefiting Souls for Souls. General admission is $20, with every ticket going to purchase a new pair of shoes for a child experiencing homelessness in Middle Tennessee. It's happening at the brand new venue, the Ballad East, next to the Gallatin Hotel in East Nashville. Doors will open at 6. Get your tickets now at thegamenashville.com/golf. Really looking forward to that. Our golf tournament next Wednesday. We'll be broadcasting from there. You're going to do afternoons with Caroline, mm-hmm. So that'll be fun right there from the golf course. And y'all are going to send me around, and I'll be like, Robbie Stanley lining up on
Chase,
the 12th tee box.
Chase will channel his inner Jim Nance and Hello, Scott friends. Van Pel.
Van Pel? Scott Van Pel. It's the French version.
It's been a long Van day. Pel. It's been a long week. I even told you, I was Van like, Chase. I'm like, Chase, I'm on the struggle bus. I cannot speak today. Blame my 5 hours of sleep. So, but yeah, we'll just forget that I said that. But we have a lot of text to get to on the text line regards to.
And I just muted. Damn it. We're struggle bus right now. Yes. Read some of these texts on our previous discussion.
So this discussion between or on Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, power struggle or what maybe some people think it may be. Matt on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I believe the best teams have the best working relationships between a coach and a GM. They need to be on the same page about what the team needs. The coach is more on the personnel level with the players, personal level with the players, so he may need to be a little bit more involved in contract negotiations, but the GM should have more say when it comes to trades and acquisitions. That's Matt. And then we'll read Kevin's, which is on along the similar lines. Rabel's doing his best to not run over Carthon, but he's still pretty clear that he's the boss. Not sure how long Ram will be able to deal with being the puppet, and that's why they brought him here, because Vrabel is the boss, and they needed somebody who would be okay with that. Well,
I don't think he's a puppet.
No, yeah, I don't.
I just think he's the talent evaluator. That's what he's going to be. And I mean, look, he's the general manager. He has the title. He does have say. I'm not saying he doesn't have any say. I'm just saying if there's a coin flip, the coin's going to land on the side with Vrabel's face on it. That's what I think.
Picture his face just on a quarter.
The scowl. The scowl will be at about an 8.
Rand's on one side.
The Vrabel scowl scale. Say that 3 times.
On a quarter, which is off the rails today. I agree. I do agree with that he does have final say. I don't have a problem, and we can read body language and read into what has been said. That's fine. I don't really think there needs to be a, hey, by the way, everyone over here, I choose the roster, not him. I don't think that needs to be said. I agree with you. I think a lot of it is, you know, Rand does a lot of the management side of things, but I think, you know, when you are looking at especially those first couple rounds in the draft, those are the players that everybody knows. I'm not talking about the back half of the draft where you really rely heavily on all of your scouts for that, because they head coaches and GMs don't have a lot of time to, and that's where your scouts come in and trusting, you know, their preparation and their scouting of specific players. But I do believe, you know, say the first round of the draft, let's just use Peter Skoronski for an example. I think that, you know, they were pretty solid on the fact that they both wanted him, but let's just say, for instance, maybe Vrabel wanted who's the Ohio State offensive lineman who was in there too, Paris Johnson Jr. Maybe it was between both of those, right? And you know, you look at your grades, whatever, and maybe Ram was like, I want Skoronski, and then Vrabel wanted the Ohio State guy, and then you know, you get there, and then you go with what your coach wants because he's the one who is, you know, dealing with him every single day, coaching him every single day. But I don't think it's very much like 100% Vrabel and none Ran. I think it is a collaborative. And to our one texter's point, I think that's when you see organizations being the most successful. You know, we mentioned Kansas City. Andy Reid, I believe, has a heavy influence on that roster. We mentioned Seattle. Pete Carroll up there. We mentioned San Francisco with Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. I do believe those guys are the ones who have, you know, more say when it comes down to we both feel really passionate in the guy that we want, but okay, I will give this one to the coach because he's the one who has to coach him every day.
Yeah. I mean, I go back to, you know, you were using some examples. I mean, the thing that I think they want to avoid is, like, if you go back to the 06 draft, and, you know, Floyd has the late, great Floyd Reese has talked about this from, you know, from in different times that, you know, Floyd, I think, wanted Cutler, Jeff Fisher wanted Leinart, and the owner wanted Vince Young. Who did the Titans draft?
Vince Young.
VUI is my guy. I mean, and that, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. And so I don't see Amy Adams Strunk pulling that. She's not her father in that sense. But that, you know, I think the collaboration does exist. But, again, I stand by that I think the Vrabel definitely has more power and probably ultimately will end up with the final
And
set.
I think it is an interesting situation, though, where it's like, I absolutely don't want this player and maybe the other guy's in love with it. I think you just go with – like, okay, I'm going to – if you have, like, a problem with this person, like, yeah, we'll go with you on that one.
Sure.
Because that, you know – but there are – you know, you also – Vrabel was a part of the hiring process with Rand Carthon. So, you know, when it comes to just the fundamentals of football, it's very clear that they really value a heavy running game. I mean, look who Rand Carthon's dad was, Maurice Carter. Like, Carthon.
Maurice Carthon. Yes, that is
Maurice
correct.
Maurice Carthon. It is just a day, ladies and gentlemen out there. But, you know, when it comes to their football philosophy, they very much are on the same page. So I think it really does more come into play when you see opportunities like they're in right now with, like, a DeAndre Hopkins situation. And, okay, you know, we're in an interesting cap. Can we get extra money to go and get him, to give him maybe a big signing bonus and then maybe a $1 million a year, but you give him, like, a signing bonus of, like, 12 or similar to the OBJ deal, because that'll help you manipulate that cap a bit. I think the who has final say kind of comes into more when we get into these situations, because then management ownership has to be on board too when you go and make and you need a little extra cash for some of those free agents, aka maybe DeAndre Hopkins.
Exactly. Let's give something away. Caller number 3-615-737-1025. You want a pair of tickets to see Tears for Fears at First Bank Amphitheater on July 11th. Caller number 3-615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll dive back into the Predators. Andrew Brunette introduced yesterday as the head coach of the Predators. Our thoughts on that. And also building the roster, how Barry Trotz intends to do that starting this offseason. That's next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Barry, along the lines of the roster that you were talking about and 13 draft picks, all those things, how much are you prepared for if somebody comes to you and maybe they're interested in moving a player that could help this team right now, you have the cap space that you'd be...
I'm looking for those deals, actually. Those would be more... And we've been offered some of those already. Or I shouldn't say offered. They've been proposed already. Those are the type of deals I'm looking for. You know, if you want to, there's some top teams right now that they're going to have trouble re-signing guys, whatever. Or they won't have the cap because guys' contracts increase, you know, sometimes yearly. Or they're trying to make a move. All that being said, there's been some proposals. I love those deals that I got cap space. I might give you a little sweetener. I get the player that I want with the right term and still got some term on it that could fit in our culture. That would be perfect scenarios for me. So, yeah, if you know anybody who wants to do that, and there's a few, and if you have inside info or influence, I should say, I'm all ears on that because those are the deals I really want. I don't think we'll be big players in the free agency. There's not a lot of... We'll have some, but I don't think we'll be the big player. Like, I think it's the free agent list this year is a little bit lean. So I'll let everybody else fight over that a little bit. But I'll handpick some guys that will be good cultural pieces, I'm sure. But I'm looking for those deals where the guy might have a term, I can have him for, and if he fits, I'll sign him for longer. If he doesn't, then it'll be a shorter term risk.
Barry Trotz, incoming Predators general manager, on how he might go about acquiring talent for this roster. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Then, by my count, they're at about $15.5 million in cap space, which is pretty darn good. with the Predators going into this. And, you know, they will have to handle a few things, like Cody Glass is an RFA, and he's obviously probably going to get a bump. Rasmus Asplund is an RFA. Nick, do you think he's back, or do you think they may try to move on from him?
Which one are you talking about?
Asplund.
I don't know about him, to be honest with you. But, like, they need to take care of a Cody Glass. They need to take care of a couple guys that are RFAs.
I'm curious on the defenseman because Carrier's an RFA and then Cal Foote's an RFA.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't tender those guys, then obviously they can walk. So I'd be curious to know what they do with it. But when I think of who they need to prioritize, obviously Cody Glass is number one. I would say number two is maybe Jake Livingstone in terms of maybe signing him for a couple more seasons, because then he can play.
I think that's easy, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's nothing to really worry about because they're young players, and the Preds are definitely going to have the first priority to keep them. So those are the first few things that I would think of. Now, if they keep Asplund and he fits Barry's memo for what he wants, maybe. I don't know, maybe like a one or two deal. It would be really cheap for him to come back. But, I mean, there's not really anything definitive from my end. I don't really worry about keeping a guy like him, honestly.
So I think there are two guys that have a year left that they might want to address now. And that would be Yakov Trenin.
Okay. Was one new last year?
Yes.
Tyson Barry?
No.
Oh.
No. I think I don't see a long-term deal for him. I like Tyson Barry, but I don't see a long – no, I'm talking about Novechkin, Tommy Novak. Tommy Novak's got 1 year left on his deal, and he'll be an unrestricted free agent.
It makes less than $1 million.
Yeah, so I kind of – so he and Trenin would be UFAs, not this offseason, but next offseason. And, I mean, right now, I feel like those are culture guys that Barry Trotz would want to keep, that Andrew Brunette would like. I think you try and get those guys – locked up, and I don't think it's going to cost you a whole lot to do it.
Yeah,
that's what I'm looking at.
Well, and those are guys too that are just they're familiar with the team. You've seen success from them. I think Tommy Novak especially. I don't think that you can expect that production this upcoming year, because you know it was a small sample size. He still was a guy who started the year in Milwaukee. But he's definitely somebody that you want to keep in the organization, so mm-hmm. I love that. I know you really shot down my Tyson Barry, but I was so high on him at a part of the power play this past year. I would bring him up to Max Herz every time he was on the show. I know he has 1 year left on his deal. I don't know. I mean,
so I'm gonna give you that a little bit, because and I'm not shooting it down. I like Tyson Barry a lot. I agree with everything you're saying. I'm just thinking that you want to get younger.
For sure, yeah. I mean, how old is he? Mid-30s?
He'll be 32, yeah.
Yeah, I
But if you, that. I mean, like, if you can get him
on a 1 or 2 year deal, I mean, I
on
don't
a
know.
1 or 2 year deal, making he's making 4.5 now. I mean, if you got him to take 3.5, then I might consider it. But I mean, the thing is, they're not very deep at defense.
Nick is giving a face at that.
He says no. You say no.
No, I'm kind of agreeing with that. I mean, I don't know what you could get him at for a bang for your buck. I mean, yeah, it's going to be 32, but still.
If they announce 2 years, $7 million.
I mean, that's respectable. He has a long track record of being a reliable guy.
That's what
I wouldn't
mean.
Think that's horrible.
Just a guy who's. I don't want to say pillar piece, because your pillar pieces are your Forsbergs, your Yossi, your Ryan McDonough, but another guy who's been in the league for a while. And I mean, you know, Max was took on somewhat of a leadership role too. When some of the other guys got, you know, injured. And I actually thought, you know, the transition from Edmonton, because he was in the Matthias Ekholm trade, I thought he really fit and meshed with the team quickly and pretty successfully early on in his time here.
Yeah, because he's very personable. And I think working with the younger guys in his time in Edmonton, because he worked with a guy that I thought did pretty well with Matthias. I believe it was Bouchard.
I think you're right.
So when you think of who he's worked with previously, it's kind of a no-brainer with his chemistry coming in here. I mean, his gear almost didn't make it down there, so he was just getting to know everyone down in Florida. But I think he's someone that's pretty interesting to keep an eye on. I would like them if I'm Barry Trotz, I would probably like to keep him or have a conversation about it. Now, the thing with me thinking of keeping guys on defense is, how confident do you feel about the prospects you have? Because there's only a few guys, for me at least, that stand out that would maybe crack the NHL lineup here in the next year or two. So I don't feel as confident as I typically have in years past about the defense. Now, there's a couple of guys in Milwaukee that I think have done a pretty decent job. Do I think that they'll be top four defensemen? Probably not. So you got to think about what you want to swing on at the draft this year. I mean, I loved that quote yesterday from Barry talking about just his scouts taking swings at guys.
Yes, me too.
So if he takes swings, who is he talking about? And obviously we'll know here in the next few weeks what he's kind of eyeballing. But you're not going to see him take 7 forwards or anything crazy. I think we'll see a pretty balanced draft from the Preds. I'd be kind of shocked if they actually didn't take a goalie too, because they've got some guys that have been with the Predators that have aged. So I don't know if they feel confident with who they already have in the near future. But I think they really need to stockpile up on defense in the draft. And obviously he wants to hit on the big forwards as well. The centerman is the biggest question for me. That's the biggest storyline for me, is who's playing center in the next couple of years and who is elite in Barry Trotz's eyes.
Yeah, and along the lines of the question that I asked him, is finding a team that's up against the cap that's going to have to move somebody, Tampa.
Toronto. You know,
yeah, Toronto. I was just looking at Toronto. They're definitely in that category. They had more cap space than I thought they did.
Yeah, they do.
They got like $9 million. But I mean, they're going to be up against it because they're going to have to re-sign some guys and stuff like that. So I mean, they're definitely in that category right now, today as we sit, according to CapFriendly.com, Tampa Bay has $450,000 in cap space.
Well, they don't need it. They won a lot of cups, so they're good. Hopefully it'll be I feel like they're kind of maybe in that transition.
Would you take Stamkos for 1 year?
Yes.
He's got one year left.
Yes.
Look, 1 year left, 8.5.
Tampa has to retain salary for 1 year, but that's fine. If I was going to trade for him, I'd have to have them retained just like how Kane got traded or Taze gets moved, or if he had gotten moved. Yeah, no, I'm not taking all that on. I'm sorry.
It's 8.5.
Well, yeah, but for 1 year, I don't think they're interested in paying him his entire salary like that.
Okay, to that point, you'd have to get somebody to take Johansson.
Sure, yeah. You have to throw someone in. If you do that and it kind of evens it out a little bit more.
And you did get somebody to take Mikhail Granlund.
Right, exactly. So
guy got fired.
That's okay. Thanks on your way out.
Welcome in Kyle Dubas. Yeah, he's here now. But also, as far as free agency goes, and him saying that he doesn't want to go after any big fish, well, I think some of the big fish are intriguing to me, Chase. I'm just going to give you a few names. Obviously, I just mentioned Taze. He's one. O'Reilly's another. Tarasenko is another one. Jonathan Taze is a UFA this offseason.
He's not going to play again.
No, but...
Wait, didn't he retire?
No, he hasn't. No. And John Klingberg is a UFA. Max Pacioretty's a UFA. Sean Monahan's a UFA. Jason Zucker, who I think might be a pretty good player. Jonathan Drouin, he's kind of like a Cody Glass, but he's older. You'd have to kind of let him get some more playing time to get better. The Preds probably won't do that. Bergeron's a UFA, actually, which is kind of funny. I don't think I'd sign him either.
No chance.
Let's see who else we've
got. Have you said Patrick Kane yet?
Patrick Kane, yeah. Very,
Preds
very
fans, how would you feel about that?
I don't know about that. Milan Lucic is also a UFA that kind of fits that Barry Trotz memo, so I don't know what they would do in free agency, but we'll see.
I would have loved Milan Lucic like 3 years ago.
Yeah, but not now. A little bit past that.
I love Milan Lucic. I think he's such a... Like, he's one of those guys that I think this team needs, that he's kind of a jerk and you hate him if he's not on your team. But yeah. I like him.
He
I
just
like
played with Cody Glass, too, in the World Championships, too, and they just won. So that might be something to look at maybe as an option. But, yeah, Preds could look at some depth pieces in free agency. Probably none of those big guys, though.
Florida might have to do some movement.
I like Carter Verhaeghe if they want to trade him.
I like Verhaeghe. And that could make sense, getting somebody from Florida that Brunette
already
knows.
Yeah, but he's part of their future. I don't know how strong
they
feel.
Yeah, I'm not saying him, but I mean, like, getting, you know, getting somebody off that team. That,
or Jersey.
Or New
what
Jersey.
What do they look like?
New Jersey's young. I don't think they're going to be as apt to making trades.
Jersey has $34 million in cap space.
Yeah, they're pretty set.
They're doing okay. They're doing
now,
okay.
Now, goaltending, I mean, Michelle, to kind of, you know, make that case Islanders. A little stronger, they do need some goaltending. Islanders is another good one.
Can you imagine Trotsky fleecing Lou? Oh,
I don't think he could fleece Lou. I think Lou's a little smarter.
Happen.
Yeah, but Nick's point, though, the Devils need goaltending.
Look, to kind of go off of what we heard from Trotz earlier, if absolutely anything's on the table, then you kind of have to consider what he's saying there. I mean, you don't want to read too much into it, but still. What do you got, Chase?
I'm going to give you a name that I think Trotz would be interested in because he knows him. Josh Bailey.
Yeah. I think that would be good.
5 million. He's got 1 year left.
He'd be a guy that plays third, fourth line minutes, though. Yeah.
He's got 1 year left. Brock Nelson's another one. He's got 2 years left, $6 million. I like either one of those.
Brock Nelson, Team USA. He's
Anders
pretty prominent.
Anders Lee would be great, but I don't think three years, they're not going to.
No, he's well overpaid, and he's also their captain, but I don't know what they would do there.
Paul Murray's got 2 years left at $5 million.
I don't like him as much anymore.
Cal Clutterbuck. I love Cal Clutterbuck.
He's definitely like that grittiest, one of the grittiest guys in the NHL. I believe he's actually the all-time hits leader in NHL history now.
I think you were 100% right on that. There you go. That's our little just thoughts out there on free agency. There is a big game tonight. A series gets underway. We'll give you our best bets and break it all down next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, coming at you here on this Thursday. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace will be up next. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:04. Not 6:05, 6:04. Don't tune in a minute late. So that means pregame would be at 5:49.
Quick math there.
I was told there'd be no math, but here we go. Tonight on 94.9 The Fan, the Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Yeah, anybody listening at MTSU or FRA knows math was not my strong suit by any means. So
you just outed yourself.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's okay.
You know, it's known. NBA Finals tonight get underway. Looking forward to that.
I'm so excited.
You can actually hear that after Sounds Baseball. On 94.9 The Fan. We'll have on 102.5 The Game, Game 4 between the Admirals and Coachella Valley starting at 7 o'clock. Jared's actually going to be out at Ford Ice Bellevue today getting set up for their
watch party.
Their watch party. Nick, take your victory lap. Go ahead. You can do that.
Why is he just now doing this? I think that's so hysterical. Look, and like, I'm just covering this organization, and I just want to always do the best that I possibly can. I mean, Devin Cooley's playing tonight. Look, if you're in tap with anything, I think it's best to be all in. So I'm glad Jared's going. So
yeah,
I think it'll be good. I think he'll.
We're happy to be out there.
Oh yeah, and I highly recommend the burgers or the chicken fingers out there. So I think he'll have a good old time and have a few beverages, I'm sure too.
Yeah, no. So it'll be cool. So game four tonight. Starting at 7. But Denver and Miami, you just heard me in the Super Bowl. I'll say it right now. I like Miami in the points tonight.
I like them on the money line.
So you want them to, you like them to win
outright.
Plus
320 on the money line. I think that this is a great situation that Miami's going into right now. I mean, they have been so disrespected this entire series long, or not even just series, this entire postseason. I understand they're the 8 seed, and 8 seed has never gone to the NBA Finals, and their team isn't flashy. They have Jimmy Butler, but, you know, they don't have, you know, like a, they have a Bam, but they don't really have that second guy. Like Denver has Jokic and Jamal Murray. Usually you see the two guys or sometimes the three stars that lead their team to the finals, but I really like the way this is setting up for Miami. I mean, they flew to Denver right after they beat Boston, so they've been there for a couple of days. They're coming off a big win in Boston. Denver's been kind of just waiting around, twiddling their thumbs, waiting to see who they're going to play, whether it be Miami or Boston, for the last couple of days. I mean, I think, like, Miami getting game one would be absolutely huge for this series, because I think if they can go in there, they can really hone in on that we are the underdog. We've been like a 9-8, 9-point underdog on almost every single sports book in almost every single series so far this postseason. I think you hone in on that if you're Eric Spoelstra, if you're Jimmy Butler. But I really like the fact that they haven't been sitting, and Denver's just been kind of sitting for the last couple of days heading in there for game one, Chase.
Okay, so looking at the series price, what do you think of the series overall? How do you think it's going to shake out overall?
I see everybody saying what's more likely, Miami wins or Denver sweeps. Miami is going to get a game. Let's just chill out with the sweeps, and I will remember this audio if I'm wrong. But, I mean, I think that Denver will win in six.
Okay. I think the same thing. So that's plus 425 on the Superbook Sports app.
Great value.
Yeah. Heat would be, if you took the Heat in six, it's plus 850. Heat in seven is plus 1,200. Nuggets in seven is plus 405. So they do feel like the favorite in this, though, is Nuggets in five, plus 200.
Yeah, I've seen that being thrown around there. With the way that Jimmy Butler has been performing and the guys around him, I mean, they have been shooting incredible. I mean, the coach, they have the better coach. I saw a crazy stat that said Pat Riley has been, I know obviously he's in the front office, but Pat Riley has been a part of 25% of NBA finals in history.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those runs that he had with the Lakers.
Three as a player, 10 as a coach, 6 as an executive.
Yeah. And then, yeah, with the
Heat. Mean, like, think that's a pretty incredible stat. So I look at this Miami team. I will say something. If this series goes to seven games, Miami wins.
I'd agree with that.
Okay.
I think I hear Derek behind the door. I wonder if he agrees with that.
I really.
If it goes seven, Miami wins.
Nope, they just always, stared. They just stared at us.
They just stared at us. It's always fun to listen to Derek with his NBA talk. But yeah, I could see that. I could agree with that.
I mean, all the national networks are already crowning Denver. This morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, J. Will's like Denver sweeping this series. I just don't. I mean, we've seen. I understand Jokic is Jokic, and Bam Adebayo better be ready to take him on because they don't really have an answer for
That'll
him.
That'll be a fun matchup.
Maybe throw a little Kevin Love out there and just. Just try to double Jokic every single time, but there really is no answer for Jokic, so you just have to find ways to create your own shots. Jimmy's got to be Jimmy, and then all of the role players who've been stepping up, and maybe you get Tyler Hero back in game three, which is a possibility. If he could get out there and, you know, give you some 20-point games, I think this is going to be a fun series. And maybe I'm just really hoping that we don't get a sweep, but – let's just hope for seven so we can play sports.
I mean, you always love seven, for sure. Hey, I just saw this. Pretty cool news. Dierks Bentley is going to host the NHL Awards at Bridgestone Arena. Tickets are still available for that, so you can check that out at Ticketmaster.com. But pretty cool that Dierks.
I didn't know you didn't. So you ran out for a second in one of the breaks, and Nick and I were talking about that. He was part of the Stadium Series, correct? Right?
Yeah, and yes. He's done a ton of stuff.
No, the NHL, NHL All-Star Weekend. Remember,
It
was both, but he also did that shot with James Neal.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. You know, country, what's perfect? Country singer, Nashville, awards, draft. It's going to be an awesome event. And he's got the personality to host something like this.
Dierks, so I see him at games all the time. Like, he will just go randomly go to a game.
He loves
going to Preds games. And so he did, yeah, like Nick said, he was at the All-Star game. He did like a trick shot with James Neal, which was cool. He and Miranda Lambert performed at the Stadium Series. And so it makes sense that he's going to be a part.
Hey, Dierks, if you, NHL, or anybody are listening and want to co-host, there's a girl, a.k.a. me, named Michelle Knezovic. I would be glad. I would gladly co-host. Shoot my shot out there. Chase is laughing at me.
Shoot or shoot. I mean, you know, I hope that happens.
Or
for
Sean
you.
Henry, if you're listening.
Well, it might be Bill Daly or Gary Bettman at this point. But yeah, so there you go. So
what
get,
a day.
Get your tickets for that. Be a fun one tonight in the NBA Finals, and Look, we've covered a lot today with the Predators and Andrew Brunette. He's all over NHL Network, which is really cool for him, and what this is going to look like, what the roster is going to look like, and then obviously with the Titans and OTAs. Brett Kern announced his retirement. He'll have an official press conference today at 1 o'clock over at the Titans facility, so looking forward to that. Brett's been an awesome person, awesome ambassador for the Titans. Has been the best player on the team many times.
And also CBS Sports, they had a notification. Titans need a new punter. CBS Sports, do better. Learn the name Ryan Stonehouse when they posted their article with Brett
Kern. Really?
Yeah, and also he didn't play here last year.
That's bad. That's bad.
But round of applause, Brett Kern. Stoney. Huge part of this organization.
Yeah, Stone.
He's already got his cleats in cannon.
Yeah, Stoney, you know, you gotta show some – put some spec on it. Put some spec on it for Ryan Stonehouse. That will do it for us today. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, they are coming up next as they will have full reaction to Andrew Brunette being introduced as the Predators' next head coach and Barry Trotz's plan moving forward as the new GM. That is all coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.